This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Houston, this is the SS Salty Rocket. Are we clear for takeoff?
In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, we have liftoff.
The following program is a show intended for an adult audience. Our discussions are of a sexual nature and may contain coarse language and references to drugs.
You're with Trouble. Dean Beck on Hide and Seed.
You're also with RV Wallbanger.
Hello.
I'm a bit exhausted after George's pussy discharge, frankly.
Oh. He does paint a lovely word picture.
He does. He does. Yes. Let's move on to more pressing matters. We are joined in the studio by three gorgeous young people.
Who combined are probably still younger than us.
Well, you. And they are youths. Do they qualify as Gen Y?
We're still in Gen Y.
Yeah, right. You're definitely okay. Gen Y.
Okay. Well, it is my great pleasure to welcome Eric, Priscilla, and Cece.
Cece.
Thank you, all three of you, for joining us. Now, you are involved with the Centre for Multicultural Youth. Can you tell us a little bit about what that is, Cece?
Oh, yes. So it's a multicultural group community that we have joined. And basically, we're launching this project next week on Wednesday. So it's the Animation Change.
But the centre itself, what does it do for you?
For me?
Yeah.
For myself, pretty much I'm Chinese background and there is... You know, only a few of us on the street that you can identify as a lesbian. Obviously.
I mean, you look like a lesbian. And the first thing I thought, Cece, you are a lesbian.
Yeah.
No. You look like any other young Chinese student that would be walking around our streets. So,
Other than the fact that we walk in close pack and.
So, I don't care how you hunt.
So yeah, it's actually really, really nice to, for 14 of us to meet every Wednesday for 3 months.
Is it a youth group or is
it's a youth group. So 18 to 25 year olds.
Yeah.
And we all collaboratively came up with the project.
We'll get to the project a little later. Mm-hmm. Eric, tell me what activities you do each week when you're at this centre.
Oh, what we do. Well, we joke around, make a lot of noise all the time.
Yeah.
But mostly it's that we have some trainings, like some leadership lecture-ish kind of situation there. But mostly it's actually revolving around the project. So it's sort of preparing us for the project and then after that, jumping into it.
But so there's a social networking friendship type element to it,
yes,
as well as an activity-based project focus type thing as well.
Yes.
Okay.
How did you guys find the group? I mean, how long have you been members? How long have you been participating? That sort of thing.
Well, the project itself has been on for maybe 3 months now.
Okay.
So the centre basically... So the project that we're working on is one of many at the Centre for Multicultural Youth, and a lot of what they do is training and research, which is funded by the organisation and other kind of external agencies, which focus particularly on the needs of multicultural young people within the community.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily same-sex attracted, but the project that we are a part of is focused on that particularly. And so I think for me, I found this on social media. I think, you know, a lot of the GLBTIQ kind of networking is done through social media. And so this project was advertised quite heavily on Facebook and Twitter and that. So I think that's how... I came across it anyway.
But the group, the centre itself is not exclusively same-sex attracted youth. It's for multicultural youth.
Yeah.
And just one of the projects that the centre is doing happens to focus on same-sex attracted youth.
Yeah.
So what are some of the other projects that are, we're going to talk heavily in depth about your project, but give us sort of an overview of some of the other projects that go on at the centre.
To be honest, we've only sort of been involved within the last few months. So in terms of the other projects that they have kind of provided, I'm not too sure unless you guys... from my understanding, they do provide kind of community partnerships and involving kind of multicultural youth in activity-based programs, whether it be something like us developing an animation, which is going to be used as a community resource.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the projects are designed as a social network, but also to provide some kind of engagement with the wider community. So.
Mm-hmm. Eric, what's your background? Where are you from?
I'm from Malaysia.
And you're here studying?
Yes.
So tell me what... how long have you been here now?
3 years.
Okay. So tell me when you first arrived here 3 years ago, what that experience was like for you as a young gay man to not only... leave your high school, but to further your education in another country where you were miles away from anyone you knew.
Thank God. Thank God.
Very good.
Oh, come on. Leaving your parents, that's like the best thing ever.
Was it all good, though? I mean, there must have been some tough stuff to have to work through.
Not really. Well, sort of. As in, it was to a point where living with your parents sort of...
You couldn't wait to get out.
Yeah, it's like, you know, all my parents, my mom, well, both my parents, they're kind of very dictator-ish.
Right.
But I'm Asian, come on. It comes to the territory. They tell you what to do, you just follow. So to a point that I can't stand the control anymore. So it's a good thing that I get to leave the country.
But when you go to a new country, you don't know where, the doctors are. You don't know where do you, I don't know, get condoms. Your whole environment's changed. Do you know what I mean? How did you go about finding out some of those sort of basic things?
I think...
7-Eleven?
Yeah, I feel like comparing me to a puppy.
That was a pretty stupid question.
It was kind of, Dean.
Yeah,
comparing me to a puppy. I'm not a puppy.
No, I'm not doing that.
Yes, you are.
I think what Dean's trying to ask...
I'm trying to get angst and struggle out of you.
Okay. No.
All I'm getting is joy and happiness.
Okay, that's true.
He'll make the story up for you.
Well, like... It is tough in situations like my birthday was 2 days ago.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, what's my present? You guys didn't know.
No.
I'm going to leave right now.
Drop the attitude.
But no, like my birthday was 2 days ago. It was difficult because I'm used to celebrating with my friends and they're all back home. So like on certain occasions, like my best friend's birthday or, you know, reunions and stuff, they post on Facebook and I'm like, oh, I'm so far away, I can't be there with them to, you know, just have a drink or anything. That's difficult.
And as a newcomer, as a gay Asian young person here in Australia, what's it like finding social groups?
It was sort of difficult because I didn't know where to find for it. I just Googled it. Like anything in life, you just Google and hope Wikipedia will give you an answer, such as my assignments. But yeah, it was...
You heard it here first.
Come on. Don't pretend you don't Wikipedia everything in your life these days.
It's called a radio show.
I'm curious, you know, you identified earlier you're a Chinese lesbian in Melbourne.
Mm-hmm.
She's the only one.
She clearly.
I found more, but, you know, after research, of course.
Google.
Yes.
Yeah. What is... what is it like trying to find social groups or... Because, you know, one of the things that we hear a lot of these days is that the younger generation don't necessarily want to isolate themselves in same-sex attracted spaces. You know, we see this with a lot of the venues closing down because a lot of the young people, they're just going to normal
Normal places.
That's why it's so hard to find them.
General places. It's so sad when everyone's so accepting.
I know. It's tragic. I don't know where to go anymore. But what is... You know, what is it like as uni students, multicultural background, Asian background, and having to come out as same-sex attracted and trying to find a social group?
Well, there are some support groups, mm-hmm. Which I found pretty helpful, which is I'm a part of Yellow Kitty, and basically they do a lot of Asian lesbian support, and therefore I found some people to be friends with and then communicate through that channel, as well as there's always social media as well.
Are you from mainland China?
Yes.
Whereabouts?
It's right next to Shanghai.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm going there in 2 weeks.
Are you?
Yes.
Oh, good. Congratulations. Does he know?
Guangzhou. I've been there.
Yeah. It's a little bit further down, but yes.
You know, Eric, you were saying that it was quite fun to get away from your parents.
Yes, it is.
Do your parents know?
He's quite clear on that.
Yeah. Do your parents know, both of you, that you're same-sex attracted, that you're gay and lesbian?
Yes.
Yes.
Right. Let's see how that went down.
Let's unfold the... Because, you know, we do hear stories of the sort of the conflict between cultural identity, potentially religious identity, and coming out as gay or lesbian. What was that process like? Did you come out before you left Malaysia and China, or did you do that with a phone call from Melbourne? No,
that's what I wanted to do, but then I thought, yeah, I should just, you know, just... get ballsy and do it.
Sure.
Anyway.
Yeah. We all have to do it in our own way.
Yeah.
So you did it before you left?
No, actually, after I left Australia, but I go back to Malaysia every once for the semester breaks.
So. And the reaction?
Beautiful.
Why?
Beautiful as in the most sarcastic way.
Oh.
It was terrible.
Right, okay.
It was to be expected.
And how long ago was that?
Just last year.
Okay. So where are you at now with... your family?
Denial in my dad's part.
Yep.
I think that would be permanent, so that's beautiful. with my mom, it's sort of a tricky thing. There's a lot of... She's testing the water. I'm testing the water. But I'm treading really carefully because she doesn't really understand the whole situation, but she's still trying to push because she wants to ensure that I sort of understand that my sexuality would impact the family in a way that would stain the pride and honor thingy.
The usual Southeast Asian.
You dishonor family.
Guilt trap. Yeah. Priscilla, what's your background and how did you come to be a part of this particular
group?
Group, yeah.
Pretty much like everybody else, you know, the project was advertised and I joined up. But my heritage is mixed, a third culture kid. So I'm as pale as plaster, but I have Croatian heritage and also English heritage. So I'm a bit of a mixed bag. but no, it's been an interesting kind of opportunity to be part of this group. And I think all of us being culturally diverse, I think... coming into it, I expected that we'd have a lot of different experiences, but in fact, across the kind of whole group...
It's amazing how similar we all are, isn't it?
Exactly. So I think that's comforting. And, you know, it's been great to sort of, you know, work through this together and make something of it. I think that's been really sort of important.
Cece, I know that in China there is no Buddhism and there is no homosexuality. It just doesn't exist. So it's not an issue and it's not a problem.
Yep.
How did your enlightenment of your parents go down?
My folks. So that's an interesting story. I actually met my partner. It's actually the reason why I came to Australia.
Right.
Yes. So basically what happened was we ran to New York, got married, and then phone called the parents.
Right.
So, yeah, it was
too
a little...
late.
Yes. Yeah.
I think my mother would be more upset she wasn't invited to the wedding.
Mm.
That would have been a much longer argument.
But that is your mother.
Yeah, it's true.
That's true. She still loves me.
Yeah.
Thank God. She's a lovely woman.
And your father?
He knows about it as well. So basically my immediate family all know about it, but other than that, it's just not going to be talked about.
So far, it's sounding all very, very normal. You are listening to Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. Eric, Priscilla and Cece are with us. You are with Avi Wallbanger. Dean Beck here, and we'd love to hear from you. Get in contact with us. This is how you do it.
We're listening to you. SMS 0427 JOY 949, email onair@joy.org.au or call us 1300 JOY 949.
JOY 94.9.
Like, I learned more things from Hide and Seek, for God's sakes. School didn't provide it.
It's not something that I listen to on a regular basis.
You certainly want something a bit more reliable and than what you get in the schoolyard, whether yes. Hide and Seek is the first place you should start. My sex education involved the breeding of mice, then talking about what they had done.
Oh,
you're
wonderful.
With
Melbourne's most lovable
big gay voice,
Dean Beck.
If you want someone else,
listen to Real Radio.
You are listening to Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. Avi Wallbanger is my special co-host whilst the apprentice is ailing.
Yes, recuperating. He's swooned on his daybed.
What's that word when you... Convalescing.
Convalescing,
that's the
yes.
word I'm after. We are with three youths.
Yes.
They are associated with the Centre for Multicultural Youth, and they are Cece, Eric and Priscilla. Priscilla, what ethnicities are represented in the GLBTIQ sector of what we're talking about here in the organisation?
Well, everybody, really. I think yeah. A wide variety, really. And I think, you know, we have a lot of European, you know, a few European kids, and then Vietnamese, Malaysian, Chinese. Yeah, the whole universe
Middle
of
Eastern.
Culture. Well, no, not Middle Eastern, which is surprising. But I think, you know, who knows? I was reading an article the other day on same, and there was one young girl who's a Muslim queer and started kind of like a Muslim queer group, and she was saying it's very difficult to have visibility within the queer community. Mm. And so, I mean, you know, hopefully in the next project, you know, we can add. Yeah.
It's something we struggle with at this station, is to get that voice, because for that very reason, they're not they're so underground within their own community that it's kind of sad. When we get this sort of wonderful freedom and Eric just pisses off to the other side of the world and says stuff you all. So
now you guys are, two out of the three of you are still at uni. Priscilla and Eric, you both still at uni?
Yeah.
What are you guys studying?
Psychology.
Engineering.
Ah, cool.
No.
No?
But, I mean, I'm Asian, so it's a given.
How long have you guys been studying so far? Where are you in your studies? Halfway, almost finished?
I'm in the last 6 months of my master's in clinical psychology, so I'm almost done.
Okay. What attracted you to clinical psychology?
I think just an interest in human behaviour and what makes people tick, why we do certain things and not necessarily are conscious of why we do them, and how to explain them.
And your intention is to practice as a psychologist?
At the moment, that's my intention. Mm-hmm. So I think I've been studying for 6 years, so I'm thinking a break is my first intention, but hopefully to go into professional practice sometime soon.
And taking something like psychology, which is one of the more fun... arts degrees, I suppose, or mental degrees, taking it into a project like this where you're talking about multiculturalism, you're talking about same-sex attraction, you're talking about what was the interest there, what was the engagement into some sort of like this project from your point of view as a psychologist? Almost a psychologist.
I don't think I necessarily entered into this project with kind of my profession in mind, but mm-hmm. I think what made me interested in the project from a psychological perspective, I suppose, is my own interest in exploring what it means to be same-sex attracted. And also, I think, even just the idea of the project representing the experiences of our community, and mm-hmm. particularly using animation, I think that was quite interesting to have that as a medium, because one of the issues we kind of talked about is visibility and anonymity, and some people not being able to kind of come out in the conventional way, which is kind of the kind of norm within mainstream kind of LGBTIQ culture. So I think that was my main interest. And I think just exploring identity has always kind of...
So is Donald Duck white or yellow?
It's orange, wasn't he?
Well, blue.
Mm. No, his outfit was blue.
That's my point.
Well...
When you say animation...
let's talk about the project, shall we?
Let's.
Well, the need for that, for that anonymity is like what we discussed previously with the radio issue. You know, getting people to put their face on camera for something like this is not going to be all that easy. And even if they were comfortable with it, not everybody wants to be on camera like you, Avi. Cece, what was your involvement with putting a storyline together for this?
So we actually did it collaboratively. So all 14 of us actually chipped in and had a whiteboard, and then we wrote down what's happening in our lives, maybe the things we've gone through, and actually
so it was
pretty
sort of
similar.
What are the issues that we want to cover?
Yeah, right, pretty much, yeah. So we came up with the theme in
my shoes.
It's a wonder
it's not 3 hours long.
We would have loved it to have been, but sadly, they didn't take that recommendation aboard. Yeah. Next time. We have plans, people.
Mm. Now, there are 14 of you involved. Is it 14 cooks? Was there a de facto leader? How do you structure the building of a project like this?
We do have a leader. Her mm-hmm. name is Johanna, and she is, for this project, she's the leader for mm-hmm. the group. And she basically got us all together, and we just sit down, and every Wednesday we dedicate our time, and we go through, just like Eric said, the leadership and communication and stuff before we actually sit down and do the storyboard.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, after we're all nice and friendly mm-hmm. and friends, and so we're pretty much getting along really well, and we didn't have any fights, actually.
So were the topics... let's go through some of those topics that were on the whiteboard. Were they about talking to parents, or were they about negotiating sex in another country, in an environment that you're not familiar with? What were some of the issues that were covered?
So it's... basically, it's catered to basically, like, ethnic youth. That's 18 to 25. Mm-hmm. So it's a story where... A family comes to Australia, and the things that they face as a family, finding out that their son is gay, and the things that each character goes through in their lives to realize that, you know, it's not the end of the world,
mm-hmm.
and to, you know, try to promote the positive message towards the group.
So what's the, you know, if we're looking at the stories of the whole family, what's the target audience for the short movie?
I think we have both kind of young, culturally diverse people in mind and older generations. And mm-hmm. I think what we've tried to do with this project in terms of kind of creating a message of acceptance and tolerance is also acknowledging the struggles of the older generation as migrants to a new country and the discrimination that they would face and experiencing or having value judgments made against them that were invalid. And so trying to create a parallel example or scenario in which the kind of, I guess, migrant family and their same-sex attracted child actually have more in common than they realise.
Was there a difficulty... I haven't seen the piece, and I'm quite looking forward to seeing it, but was there a difficulty in deciding the portrayal of the ethnic group that you were using for your family? I would imagine, potentially, if you're looking to target both young people and their older parents, there could be this conflict from an older generation that I'm not of that ethnicity, therefore this doesn't... it's not for me. So I'm just wondering, how was that discussed? Is that an issue?
Yeah, it was. Because like, we're trying to please I said that, please everyone.
Mm.
But I mean, the best we can do is to cover all bases, and so yeah, everyone chipped in, sort of try and compromise, and you know, look for the one possible scenario where we can cater to everyone's need, to the older, to the younger, to other ethnic groups as well.
Do you think that... let's talk about style for a second. So obviously you pick a particular animation style. Is it very cartoony? Is it very lifelike? Is it manga? I mean, what kind of style did you guys go for in terms of the animation?
Marvel kind.
Okay, so it's sort of comic book superhero style. So your characters, are they obviously of a particular ethnicity?
Yes.
So we,
Congo.
Oh, okay.
Oh my god, I can't believe I gave that out. Shoot, spoiler. Cut that out.
Spoiler alert.
Fortunately, we're on a 12-second delay, so we'll just delete that.
Yeah, yeah. But without saying what took you to deciding on that particular ethnicity as the one you're going to represent?
Well, because this, I guess it's sort of an assumption. We had an African American colleagues, member in our group, and she sort of, you know, chipped in, and we sort of felt that maybe that particular ethnicity has, you know, since she had the idea, and thought maybe it would be the strictest, mm-hmm. and sort of has the most, in a way, drama.
I would probably suggest that at the moment within our society that ethnicity is experiencing some of the most troubling times at the moment in the broader community.
Mm.
The short film is titled In My Shoes. It's going to be launched next Wednesday, the 10th of July, at the Multicultural Hub, which is at 506 Elizabeth Street in Melbourne. Launch time, 5 o'clock, and this short film, put together by these three lovely people from the Centre for Multicultural Youth.
Are you guys going to... As somebody who has unfortunately another plan next Wednesday, is it going to go online and all sorts of things? Will we be able to watch it online?
There is a hashtag on Twitter, so it's okay. hash animate change. And I think the idea is to try and promote it on social media, mm-hmm. Following the launch.
Cool.
And try and get as much visibility as we can, potentially to a national level, but we'll see how we go. But
awesome.
Yeah, any way we can get it out there is great.
Well, I want to thank you, all three of you, for coming in tonight and for sharing some of your more intimate experiences with this particular project. It's a fantastic initiative. Congratulations.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you guys for having us.
Dean Beckenavi, the Wallbanger, with you. We will be back right after this on Hide and Seek.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.